Hi everyone, welcome back to my podcast series, Welcome to the Winner's Circle. On this episode today, I wanted to talk about my book. Some of you may have heard me reference it in past episodes, and so the project is finally complete. It's actually been complete since June, so it was released in June of 2022, so earlier this summer. My book is titled Through My Mind's Eye, The Spirit of Self. First and foremost, I want to give gratitude for everyone who has shown me love and support on this project and everyone who kind of just had a hand in it, who answered my questions, who helped me in any kind of way. So if you are listening, you know who you are. So thank you to you guys. And all the support and love, everybody who's purchased a copy, who's recommended my book. That goes for you guys as well. So a big thank you, gratitude for all of you. And so on this episode, I just want to talk about a few questions I've been getting about my book. And just, I may read a couple different parts from my book so you can kind of get an idea of what it is. I'd like to call it a spiritual guide just because I drop, basically it's wisdoms, experiences that life has gifted me and that I'm just sharing, my take on it, my view on it. And so that's what this book kind of is. And I call it a guide because I don't want it to be a one and done. When you typically read a book, you're reading it, you're done. You put it away, you probably never read it again. I want it to be something that you can reference and always go back to if you feel that that is something that you need to do. And so that's why I call it a guide. Basically, to sum it up, life is a compilation of our unique experiences, gifting us our wisdom. So this is kind of what I put right now. And obviously, as life progresses and time goes on, you always get more gems through experiences and things of that nature. So who knows, maybe I might do a part two. I'm not sure. But like I said, this is my debut publication, my first one. And I was nudged to do this project by Spirit. And so here we are. So one of the questions I got was, why did I choose the title that I chose? Again, the book is Through My Mind's Eye, The Spirit of Self. And so I chose this title because it basically summed up the wisdoms that I've gained over time through experiences. You're getting certain things through spirit, through prayer, through meditation, from God, your intuition, that's like your mind's eye, like your ever-seeing eye, that vision that only you can see, that makes it so unique to you. And that's why it's called Through My Mind's Eye. And the spirit of self piece came from because that obviously is something that starts within you. It is something that is planted in your spirit, and you tap into it in different ways. When you tap into your source, when you tap into God through prayer and even through meditation. And so that is why I called it Through My Mind's Eye, The Spirit of Self. I will say it's so funny. It took me months to decide on a title just because I didn't want to give something that just sounded so fantasy-like. I wanted to give it a title that represented the book for what it was. But also, something of substance, I guess, if you want to call it. And we can call a book so many different things, but something of substance. I wanted it to be straight to the point. So when you saw it, you knew what it was. But also, at the same time, a little bit creative to leave room for mystery and imagination. So that's how I came up with that title. And it's, like I said, it took me a long time because I was trying to fit that criteria of mystery and imagination, but also something like clear cut, to the point, that kind of thing. So I had to find something. And funny enough, getting the title was the last thing that I did for this whole project. Like, I didn't choose a title until the book is until the book was complete. And I think that's why I was able to find something that was so fitting when it comes to the title for the book. I think sometimes when you choose the title of your book first, you try so hard to make whatever your, you know, whatever you have on the pages between the front cover and the back cover, you try so hard to make those pages fit in exact alignment with your title. And sometimes you find, you know, you run into jams. You find that it's kind of a challenge to do. So I thought, you know what? One, I was indecisive, but also two, it was also a good thing that I chose my title at the end, because I just let myself create the book, create the pages and what I wanted, the message I wanted to convey, and then kind of pull from all of that and come up with a title. So that's one of the questions I got in terms of the title for the book. Another question I got was just kind of, you know, why does it look like a workbook? It's not your typical 6x9 paperback book. It's not a mini, you know, like a pocketbook kind of thing. It's really the shape of a magazine, the shape and size of a magazine, the shape and size of a workbook, the shape and size of a guide. Hence also why I call it a spiritual guide. But so that's kind of why I chose this size for the book. Another question I got also was just kind of, you know, what was behind the choosing of no page numbers? And so for me, I chose no page numbers because I really wanted you to use this book as an experience. So yes, as a guide, you can finish it, go back to it, you know, whatever you'd like to do. It's not a one and done. That wasn't the intention behind it. But also, I wanted it to be an experience, you know, for whoever was reading it. I wanted the reader to have an experience while reading this book. When you have books that pages are numbered, what are you doing? Every day you're like, all right, I'm going to read the first 20 pages. Or you might be midway between the book, and you might be on page 50. And you're like, all right, I'm going to read up to page 70. And it's almost as if you're experiencing that book as a checklist kind of thing, like, boop, check it off, I did it, check it off, I did it. Okay, I'm on the last page, I'm done, you know? And that's not kind of what I wanted, that's not the experience I wanted the readers to have. Now, I'm not saying books that have page numbers aren't good books, because I definitely have some books that pages are numbered, which I believe is all books, actually, where the pages are numbered, and I've read them twice, three times, you know, because I just got so much from it. But yeah, so that is why I did not put page numbers on my book. I didn't want it to feel like, all right, I read the first two pages. All right, I'm going to go back and read like up to page 30. I'm going to go back. You know, I really wanted the person to take their time and to read this with an experience. And so that is why I do not have page numbers. However, each insight, you know, each nugget, jewel, wisdom, each experience, I have those numbered. And so with that, it's easy to reference where you can say like, okay, you know, nugget number 20 was the one that really stood out to me in this book. I want to go back and read that. So each experience that I've shared, is numbered, so you can reference. So you don't have the page numbers, but each experience, each wisdom shared is numbered, so you can go back and reference. some other questions I got about the book is that it is very colorful. And so I'm so big on color. Anyone who knows me knows that when I write in ink, I don't use traditional black and blue. I love to use color. Purple, green, red, pink, orange, if there's an orange pen. I'm using orange ink. I love to kind of be outside of the box. I like to be different, and I like that I'm set apart. And so I do little things to kind of reflect that. And so anyways, my book is also very artsy in a sense. colorful in a sense. Definitely the color was intentional because, again, I want you to have an experience as you are reading this book. You know, a lot of the times when we're reading books, it's literally black and white. It's just print on a page, and you're just flipping pages and you're flipping pages. And there's nothing wrong with that, because that also has you kind of get those gears going for your imagination, which is also a great experience. But this, I really wanted to capture, you know, I really wanted to have some color in it as well. Color was something that, you know, was given to me as I was doing this project, and so I went with it and I loved the look. So color is what I chose to use. Someone had asked, you know, how did I get the idea to even do this book? Well, it's so funny because initially when I decided that I wanted to write a book, I said I want to do an ebook. I don't know what it's going to be about, but I just know I want to do an ebook. And so the whole thing was just honestly nudged to me, like my spirit just said, I need to do this. And so I did it. But, you know, starting this off from the very beginning, I didn't know what it was going to be. I didn't know that it was going to turn out to what it actually is now. And so when I started this project, I just knew that I wanted to write an ebook. And then I started just taking action and brainstorming, like, okay, what do I want this to be about? I knew that I wanted it to be a book about positivity, but how did I want to portray that message or convey that message? What way? Because there's so many books out there, quote unquote, that are positive books. A lot of self-help books, a lot of self-reflection books, meditation books, a lot of those kind of things are out there. But how was I going to do that for me without kind of being like the rest of them in a way? So I knew that I wanted to do a book of positivity. So that was the second thing. So then brainstorming on that, I knew that I wanted it to be an ebook. And so then I was researching different platforms and you know, where I can have it as an ebook and things of that nature. And then one day I was chatting with one of my friends, and also, if, you know, if you follow me on social media and that kind of thing, I do have my own texting group, mass texting group, where every morning I send out messages every morning, affirmations, mantras, motivational texts, those kind of things. So everybody gets that morning message every morning at 7 a.m. And so I was talking to one of my friends, and it was suggested that, you know, why don't you just make, you know, not a compilation of your morning text messages, but just choose a few that you like and then use the book to explain them in depth, which I already do explain them in depth during the morning text message. But, you know, when you have a book, you can expand on it a lot more. So I was thinking about that and I was like, that's a great idea. So I started off going down that route. But slowly, I started getting all these other kind of gems, these life experiences, these wisdoms that would come to me from spirit, you know, or just these downloads that you get after meditation, downloads from conversations with people, downloads from just different things. And everybody, I'm sure, who's listening can relate to some extent to what I'm talking about. So then I said, you know what? It has to be more than just a few. It's got to be a lot more than a few. I didn't have a number on how many I wanted to include, but I knew that it had to be more than a few. And so what I did is I started just kind of typing them down in a Google Doc, the ones that I wanted to use, and like expanding on it. And so that's what I did. And, you know, a couple different times, I will say, sometimes I can be a perfectionist. You know, I deleted the whole document. I didn't like what I did. I had to restart it again, do it over from scratch. So it was like that trial and error, on my part, probably unnecessary extra work that I created for myself, but that's part of your journey and your learning. And then also too, you know, many times it was like sticking to deadlines. And because I was the only one working on this project, it was really hard to stick with deadlines. You know, life happens to people all the time. And so you may have a plan, but things get divinely, you know, changed. things happen where you can't do how you had planned, you know? And so sometimes that was also the issue. And so I didn't really finish it on time like I had wanted to. The book originally was supposed to be completed a year ago. But as you can see, it wasn't completed until like a year and a half later, after that fact. So that's just kind of like the journey for the book. And then that's just the whole mind aspect of it, right? How I see it, how I want it to look, how I want it to feel, all of those different things. What do I want to include in it? But there's a whole other aspect now that once you have that down packed, it's okay. You finding a platform that you want to put your book on, creating the actual book, and the tech pieces that come with that. Every platform is not the same. Every platform doesn't accept the same document file. You know, I added, like I said, I added art pieces to my book. And so specifics with images, for it could be accepted one way on this platform, a different way on the other platform. You know, file conversions, a lot of that techie stuff that people don't realize. And I think that was more so my experience too, because like I said, I had color and I had images. And because I wanted the print quality to come out the right way, I think that was why I had that experience with that. Versus if I just type something, any old kind of thing, it just would have been a quick PDF, upload, boom, you're done. But because I had images, I had color, I had art, you know, it made it a little bit different to how I had to save certain work, save certain files, piece it together, that kind of thing. So that when people do purchase this, everything is just how it's supposed to be when it's printed. And that's so funny. Learning the tech side of it, it no longer became an ebook initially, because initially it was supposed to only be an ebook with printing and audio after the ebook release. It actually turned into a physical print first, and then right now only ebook on Amazon because they have Kindle. But now I'm working on converting my book into a specific type of file so it can be ebook on other platforms. So it's a bit of a journey, a tech journey, but that's part of it too, you know? So I appreciated that experience because I learned a lot. You know, I love tech. I always say, like, the experience was an experience that I love to hate because it was annoying. I'm not going to lie, very annoying. But it taught me so much, where now that I've done it once, I can definitely do it again. You know, it connected me to a lot of people in tech who I honestly never would have crossed paths with. And now that I'm connected with them, they're a resource for me, you know? So that's kind of like the journey that I've had with this book so far. So that was one of the questions about, you know, my experience with writing this book and that kind of thing. But overall, it was something that Spirit nudged me to do. And I'm glad that I did it, because even though initially I didn't know exactly what it was going to be, I knew that I wanted it to be this particular way, this kind of something. And however, I trusted myself. I made the choice to trust myself. A lot of the times we don't trust ourselves. You can always have the confidence, but do you trust yourself? And so I had the confidence, definitely. But did I really trust myself? And so I trusted myself and I took a step into the unknown. And as it would have it, as you take a step into the unknown, the steps align themselves sometimes. You know, it's good to plan, it's good to have this, it's good to have that in place, but sometimes there's a beauty of not knowing and just taking action, because there's honestly never going to be a perfect time. The time is now. Not saying you don't need to be prepared for certain things, But don't be so worried about preparation to where you never actually start to do. Because the beauty comes in doing. And when you start taking that action, you take that first step. Just like when you're walking, you take one step, the second foot automatically, instinctively follows. So, same thing with this and anything you're working on. Like I said, I didn't know initially what it was going to be, but I made the decision that I was going to trust myself into the unknown, and I was going to take the first step. After the first step, the second step came. After the second step, the third step came. So as I was taking action, as I was taking an initiative, getting involved and researching and learning, things formed, steps formed, and it led to the next step, and the next step, and the next step. So it definitely was a creative process. It definitely, like I said, was a process that I love to hate because, like I said, I'm human, and so there were definitely annoying factors about it. However, it's not an experience that I would take for granted because I learned so much about myself through this. I learned so much about others through this, and I've learned so much on the technical side of things, through this. Another thing that, that's a little intentional about my book is that the font is not your typical typed font. It's more in script. And I did that on purpose. I did that for a couple of reasons. I had my book in script initially because, one, I'm a big advocate of children learning script or cursive in schools. They totally took that out of the school curriculum, which I'm just against because I feel like, how do you do that? You have a whole generation of children who don't know how to read and write in scripts. How are they going to read or even try to understand calligraphy, but also how are they going to read and try to understand any kind of historical documents? So, anyways, that's a conversation for a different day. But that's one of the reasons why I chose script for this font. The other reason why I chose script for this font for my book is to show that, there's a flow to it. When you're writing in scripts, when you're writing in cursive, there's a flow with your hand. There are no hard stops. Everything is kind of fluid together. And so I wanted, again, the experience for the reader to be involved. And so that was kind of an experience as well, a flow, a fluid experience. Like you're kind of, in a sense, gliding through my book. That's kind of the word that's coming to me right now, but gliding through my book. And that's what I wanted, and also it just looks better, because how often do you find books that are in script? And also just, let it be a challenge for anyone who may read this, who doesn't know cursive or script. Let this be a challenge to push them to figure out what it says and maybe spark an interest in wanting to learn that cursive or script that they were never taught. So, I feel like I rambled a lot about this. There are many other things about this book too that I could go on and on and on about, but I do want to read a part or two that I think people may want to hear. So this one is Maxim 10 in my book, and it starts with an affirmation. I'm grateful for a free mind. And after the affirmation, I somewhat break it down a little bit. So this says, pay attention to what your spirit tells you. What's your intuition telling you? What's your inner voice saying to you? Think a thought and listen. And then after I do a small breakdown, I do a bigger breakdown. This one is self-explanatory. However, have gratitude that everything about you is unique and not like any other person. Your thoughts are included in this, as well as your mind. Be grateful for your mind that works, that allows you to think your own independent thoughts. Be grateful for your intuition that speaks to you. These two together activate your critical thinking to where you don't need to give in to any peer pressures and can confidently think for yourself. Okay, that was Maxim 10. So can feel free if you want to hear that again, you can rewind or play it back. The next one I'll read is Maxim 14. I transform. Be grateful for transformation, knowing that we have the ability and free will to change at any given moment, at any desire that experiences, quote unquote, apply pressure, but only to polish us into who we are becoming. Having the opportunity to revamp yourself will always serve you. Get into you. Learn you, because there always is a newer version of you that awaits. Again, if you want to hear that again, rewind, play it back. Here's another one that's kind of one of my favorites. Maxim 18, I am still. There are times to go full steam ahead. There are times to pace yourself. And there are times to be still so that you can just be and trust in the moment or season you have been gifted. Don't miss the signs. Don't miss the message. This is self-explanatory. When you are still and quiet enough, that is the space where you just are. In this space, you will most likely see the signs. There will be no outside noise. What goes hand in hand with the signs is clarity. So now you will be able to understand the messages. When you are in your season of being still, you are observing, taking in the information to understand it. During the season, you are trusting that a path is being cleared for you. When the season calls for you to take action, whether it's full steam ahead or pacing yourself, you now know what tools you have to work with and how to use them. Be quiet and be still. All right. And again, if you want to hear that again, rewind, play it back. Here's another one that I like. Maxim 6. I think back to step forward. Your growth should be like a blueprint, a map to look back on when needed, a solid foundation you build upon. At times, you should be able to go back within yourself for any answers. Need a refresher, a boost, a solution? Reflect on the lessons. Know that we are always a student to life, and with this comes the experiences that shape us and aid in our growth. With each experience, we are gifted a blueprint, a new foundation, so to speak. How do we make it out of the situation? How did we come to our solution? Like any foundation, it is something that we build upon, and with each new level, we have attained an upgrade. The experiences unlock these new levels. And so, since we are always a student to life, even after the level up, we experience similar situations that we came out of, either as a test or it just so happens. When we can identify any parallels and look back at our foundation, we then realize we have created a roadmap to the solution. No one situation is exactly the same, or perhaps they are exactly the same. However, they can be similar enough to give yourself the guidance you need this time around. Sometimes we may feel as if we are backsliding and need a boost, a reminder so that we can keep moving forward. We may feel that we are getting into those quote-unquote bad habits again, so we need a refresher. And the final one that I'll read to you, Maxim 20, my future self thanks me. The future is there for you, it's just waiting for you to catch up. Time is something that is constantly moving forward, and so should you. This is the only direction one can go in order for progression. Your future self thanks you and awaits you. So, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I will put the link to purchase my book in the show notes, so you can go ahead and do me one solid if you feel so ever inclined. And thank you for listening. Share the episode. I hope you got something from this, and be well.